get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie, man. We're sorry for the wait. It's been 2 weeks since we had an episode. Last week, been doing a lot of traveling. Last week, I had a late flight coming in from LA to Chicago, so I was like, I just had no time recording. I damn sure wasn't gonna do it on Tuesday because I was fucking tired. But we're here. We're about 24 hours away from the conference finals. Now, of course, when you listen to this, conference finals be tonight. But you ought to follow us on Twitter at BarbChairScott, at OctoberZonte. If you want to actually watch this podcast, you subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. And I promise you, all the Patreon pods will be back this week. Summer Sessions will be back this week. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Me and Dante recapped Winning Time last week. If you haven't checked out those episodes, check that out now. I'm going to see Doctor Strange again for the second time. I've only seen it once. We'll see it for a second time this week. I'm going to take my dad with me. He wants to see it. And then we're going to review that in the finale of Moon Knight. So check all that shit out. And then me and Dante are going to do House of Dragon later this year. And we think we might do a We Run This City, like, kind of recap when the whole thing is over. You know what I'm saying? Talk about, give y'all like one episode, kind of go over the episode. So that reminds me, I got to watch that tonight. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork, $5 Summer Sessions package, $5 79th and Hallis package. Me and my brother Flores will be live at Hallis Hall. Well, today, as you're listening to this, to break down OTAs. That should be fun. My Hallis Hall debut. Your boy got a season pass now, so don't be looking out for that. And then also, watch out for I'm Not Gonna Hold You. We'll have another episode this week, but that's not what y'all here for. I know what y'all here for. And I just want to say, I told you so.
They do the drum roll. Let you get drum your roll. Shit off.
I told y'all so. Like, I this is not. This is not going to be, if you come over here looking for me to come over here yell and things of that nature, it's just not going to happen because it's just like, what more can I say? Like, I've been telling y'all about this bitch-ass nigga for an extremely long time. Like, unlike LeBron, I just don't like Chris Paul as a human being. You know what I'm saying? Like, my beef with LeBron post-championship is more with his fan base and how he's covered by the media. I haven't had a basketball complaint about this man since he won the 2012 NBA championship. You can listen to every podcast I've had. Anybody who's talked to me knows that I've never had a basketball complaint about him since then. But when it comes to this nigga, Christopher Paul, and shout out to my man Stu Gotts from Dan Libertard, the R stands for ringless. And he had an epic rant. If you haven't checked that out, y'all gotta check that out. It was vintage Stu Gotts, like Heatles era Stu Gotts.
Yeah, I'm gonna say they haven't given us one of those since the Heat won the championship.
it was vintage Stu Gotts. But it's this thing right here, man, was like the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul. And I'm not gonna let Devin Booker, who made the LLS look bad, the Light Skin Society. Don't make me Jamal Murray, you nigga. I will get to you later on this podcast. But Christopher Paul. Now, this guy is the only person in NBA history to blow not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5-2-0 series leads in his career. And just last week, that's one thing I love about the NBA playoffs. Shit changes so fast in a week. And just last week, everybody, oh, point guard, 14-14 from the field, da-da-da-da-da. What did he do after that? I'm going to give y'all a little breakdown.
Tell the numbers.
About what Mr. Christopher Paul did. Now, after game one, he had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. It was a blowout, so it was good numbers. Game two, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 11-for-16 from the field. Very good. Then the nigga birthday came. The nigga birthday came just 4 days after game two, where he became 37 years old. By the way, his name is Christopher Emmanuel Paul.
Oh shit, that's my middle name.
But unlike him, you're not a fuck nigga. So unlike him, you're good. And by the way, this guy went to Wake Forest. Do not let him fool you, okay? He's not Dwayne Wayne, okay? He did not go to historically black college. He doesn't know Whitley Gilbert. Do not let him fool you. So then we get to game three in Dallas, in Big D. This nigga plays 37 minutes, 12 points on 5-of-9 shooting, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in a blowout Maverick victory. Game four. I did not watch this game because I was working, but nigga, don't let me tell you. Y'all should saw the look on my face when I was on set doing what I had to do last week, and I seen this nigga stats. This nigga in a 23 minutes play, because they got their ass whooped, and he was in foul trouble, by the way. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Then we get to game five, the infamous Luka special game by Devin Booker, where this nigga put up 7 points, only shot the ball 8 times, 10 assists, 2 rebounds. Blowout. Suns win. They think they're all good. They laughing at this nigga in the press conference. Ha, 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 ha. And by the way, I think NBA players need to learn and not to stop laughing at Euro niggas. I thought they would learn their lesson from when LeBron and Wade laughed at Dirk and he came back and destroyed them niggas.
The fake cough they was
the
doing.
Fake,
like he was
the
sick.
Fake cough. Yeah, and then these niggas doing a little fake laugh they did about Luka. And we're going to get to my man Luka, because we got to have some serious conversations about this NBA top 10, and we'll get into later. Then we get to game six. Back in Dallas, chance to close the series up. This nigga scores 13 points. Only shot the ball 7 times. 4 assists. Mr. Point God, 4 assists. And then last night, at home, this nigga scores 10 points. By the way, the game was over in the first quarter. But 10 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 4 assists here. So this nigga had 8 assists combined in the last 2 games. And these niggas just got destroyed. And that game, and like we've seen another lot of blowouts. I mean, we saw a blowout like this just a week ago when you saw what Memphis did to the Warriors. But this was a disrespectful blowout. Because I really feel like Luka took this personally. And I also love that you had a nigga and a rapper. And when we talk about overrated, I'm going to do the double thing. We want to talk about overrated. Overrated point guard, Chris Paul. Overrated rapper, Dwayne Carter. Lil Wayne sitting courtside talking about Luka a hoe. It was just perfect that he was there too to watch this masterclass. But before we get into, and we will give your actual analysis because this is a basketball podcast. I don't want to hear anymore about Chris Paul. I don't. I'm tired of hearing about it. When we do your top power point guard rank, is he still top five point guard? Of course he is. Like, I'm not going to be naive. He's still top 5 all-time point guard. He's in the first ballot Hall of Famer, for sure. For sure. There's no doubt about that. But when I do my top 5 point guard list, he drops a little, man. I mean, number one is definitely Irvin. Irvin's number one. I go with my man Wardell, number two. I don't like this guy, number three, but I got to keep it real. Isaiah Thomas is number three.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah had probably one of the toughest roles ever. If you want to look about toughest roles to get to the finals, you got to think of 2011 Dirk, you know, going through Kobe, going through Bron, going through Duncan. Did he play the Thunder or was that Grizzlies that year? I think it was the Thunder, wasn't it?
Wait, hold on. Wait, what year is this?
2011, when they won the championship. I know they beat the Lakers. They Lakers were the champions. They beat the Lakers.
That was the Thunder.
They beat the Thunder, and then they beat the Spurs in the conference championship, and then they beat the Heatles in the finals. And then you got to go to 1989, Isaiah Thomas, Mike, Bird, Magic, all in one final run. So I got to put him at number three. And number four, I'm going with the guy who, you know, beat him last night. I'm going with my man, Jay Kidd. You know, J.K. And I keep saying people forget J.K. led his team to 2 straight finals. And yeah, we can talk about the East this week, but I don't like comparing errors. So if we're going to do that with him, we can do that with any other error. Then I put Chris Paul number 5. But at this point, he missed a golden opportunity, bro.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, bro. And it's insane because once again, we say this every year. We said this when the year started, what Chris Paul injury was going to happen by the end of the year. Or like, what's going to happen? And now we're hearing shit about his quad and all of that. And, you know, of course, Pat Bev thought he was faking it.
That was real LeBron.
He called it at the end of the game. He said it. He was like, let's see who's going to limp off when they down the dub. And that, you know, and that's exactly what happened at the end of the game. So, you know, I mean, say what you want about that, but still at the end of the day, it comes down to Chris Paul not performing when he needed to, like when his team needed him most. Like, you know, this is another example that you can add to the list. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, Pat Bev was going at CP3, and rightfully so, but, you know, he's the same as James Harden. We saw him, you know, copping pleas for Harden, but a lot of, when you really look at it, I feel like they didn't like each other as teammates off the strength that they're damn near the same person, bro. Like,
oh, speak on.
when it comes down to these clutch moments and shit, really, like when you're not front running, like, you know what I'm saying? It's easy, you know, to do that. But like when it's time to really, really go hoop, you know, Chris Paul has shown you time and time again, he don't get it done. And so I'm with you, bro. I understand, like, you can accept, you know, we always going to acknowledge his greatness. He is one of the best point guards ever. That's cool. But at the end of the day, when it comes to getting it done, you can't, you know, slander these other guys, and then we always letting him cop pleas, and it's always an issue. It's always a, but this happened, but that happened. It's like, nah, he didn't get it done.
I love legend Pat Bev for flying across country in his job interview shirt to slander Chris Paul at like 6 o'clock in the morning. That's true hate. I fuck with that. And he said the same thing. You can't let him off the hook.
Yeah, no, you really can't. Like, it's one of those things, you know, we used to do this to Melo until they tried to blackball him, but those elite guys always get the heat. And, you know, for Chris Paul, it shouldn't be no excuse. And I understand it's a team game. Like you said, we're going to talk about Aiden. We're going to talk about Booker. We're going to talk about all of that.
Oh, no, but none of these niggas is getting.
Yeah, nobody gets the pass. Nobody gets the pass. But
everybody love Monty, but Monty getting it too.
Yeah. And like my whole thing is all year, just like I said, you know, Chris Paul was getting all the praise for this team's success and all of that. So don't be mad when you're the first one in front of the gun when it's time to slander. You feel me? Yep. So. I guess it's disappointing because I did think this was a really, really good team, and they should have went to the finals. Like, there's no reason they should have lost to Luka. Like, this is Luka, and this is why I don't understand some of the hate Luka get, because Luka is really an old school killer, bro. Like, high usage rate. I'm gonna take 36 shots. I don't give a fuck. Like, if we win the game, fuck y'all. And so, like, that's what they went up against, and they ran into a fucking buzzsaw. Geez. So, like, with Chris, you know, everybody keeps talking about, well, he's gonna be back next year.
No, he's not. You got to look at the landscape of not just the Western Conference, but the NBA. We are in a changing of the guard NBA era right now. Like, you know, for anybody who fool wrestling fans, I'm going to give a wrestling, you know, kind of comparison here. Remember when Randy Orton broke away from Evolution, he became a legend killer. And he was beating Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and all these niggas. That's what Jason Tatum and Luka are right now. They the legend killers right now. They're the guys who are taking that next leap right now to where we're not talking about KD. We're not even talking about Giannis. Giannis lost last night. You know, we're not talking about Giannis right now. We're not talking about Bron. We're not talking about none. The only old guard who's still in the way is Mr. Stephen Curry. You know what I'm saying? So this type of stuff, like, you got to look at it for next year if you're the Suns. And we can, you know, we can might as well just talk about it right now, the outlook of the Suns going forward. Yeah. I mean, Chris Paul has a ridiculous contract.
Yeah, outrageous.
A ridiculous contract that he's going to get paid. And he said himself, I ain't retiring. Means, nigga, you paying me that $38 million next year.
Need my money.
And give me my money, which I feel him on. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to be league president and I fucking, you know, pretty much negotiate this term, you damn right I'm going to benefit from it. So, but then the DeAndre Ayton conversation comes. But this gets very interesting. By the way, he was benched in that game.
Yeah.
He was benched in that game. Monty had like a real... you know, disappointed parent type thing. It was internal. And I feel, I know a lot of people are all Aiden soft, this, that, and third. I feel like Aiden ain't being used properly. Aiden is, to me, what they are doing to Rudy Gobert in Utah, except this nigga's way more talented than Rudy Gobert. But see, the thing is, too, like, do you think there's going to be a team out there that's going to offer a poison pill contract to try to get him away from Phoenix, because Phoenix is going to have a hard time trying to pay him while Chris Paul and Book. Book's going to be up for extension soon. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you, bro. I think the Aiden situation is crazy, especially getting benched in a closeout elimination game. And, you know, anytime, you know, Monty's pretty open with the media. So anytime he reacts like that, you know, it was serious. It was something that was really, you know, as they say, conduct detrimental to the team. So that's going to be interesting going forward, especially going into contract negotiations, because it's like, how can I invest in you when, you know, we having these kind of issues with you? You feel me? And I feel like that's what, because like Stephen A. said today this morning, he was like, you know, owners look for every excuse not to pay you. They look for every excuse not to give you the bag. So when you come up, you do this in the game seven and you act like this, bro, it's that's going to be an interesting situation to monitor. And I think even with the whole poison pill situation, I don't know how that'll go, because if anything, push come to shove, you can, you know, they'll sign and trade them before they do that, before they just, you know what I'm saying, let them walk with a different deal. Kind of like how with the Bulls, like, I don't think the Bulls necessarily wanted to match that deal with Zach in Sacramento, but it's like, you're not gonna lose them for nothing. So you just match it.
What the fuck do I want to get from Sacramento?
Exactly. So you just match it. So there was no sign and trade, but I think he definitely will be back. You got to run it back. You have to run it back, unless it's just a situation that they feel is unsalvageable. And that's something you only know if you're in the locker room. Like, we weren't down on the sidelines with they were talking to Aiden, so we're not really sure how that goes. But I mean, Luka took their soul, G. Like, Devin, yeah, like, Luka was doing all that, you know, laying on the floor, Book, the Luka special. No, we got to talk about Book.
Let's talk about Book, man.
Book get a lot of praise. I picked it, you know, I said the nigga should have got some MVP votes, but Book.
And can I say about Book real quick? When we talk about the contracts, I'm actually scrolling on the gram right now, and I see a stat. If Devin Booker is named to an All-NBA team, which is going to happen, by the way, he will be eligible for a Supermax extension. 4 years, $211 million to be the largest contract in Phoenix Suns history. Yeah. Largest contract in Phoenix Suns history. He's going to get that.
We'll see you later, Aiden.
You said what?
We'll see you later, Aiden.
If I'm the Chicago Bulls, before we get to actually slandering Mr. Booker, if I'm the Chicago Bulls, and by the way, streets are telling us, aka the streets of the group chat, because niggas heard us on the radio. I don't act like I got sources. David Kaplan said on the radio this morning that Lonzo Ball's knee might be fucked.
Ain't right. It ain't right.
Ain't right. It still hasn't responded. Remember, he originally got hurt in what, January, which is coming up on 6 months ago, and still ain't responded. And they're seriously concerned about it, and that's going to determine where they go in the offseason. They might actually end up using that number 18 pick. You know what I'm saying? So that's something to look at. If I'm the Bulls, of course, I think Zach's gonna come. Zach out here just pretend like he, you know, flirting around like he should do. That nigga's not going to San Antonio. Like, all the teams with cap are sorry ass niggas. So it's like,
yeah,
that's not even a discussion. Resign Zach. I'd offer a contract for Aiden. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but I think if you offer a contract for Aiden, you got to move Vooch, which, I mean, obviously, we see the way no, I'm not saying I wouldn't part with him, but, you know, just if something's worked out to do. But seeing the way that AKME, the way they move, I think it would be definitely possible. But I still don't think Phoenix lets him walk. I think you
– What do you think you run Phoenix it back. Would want in a sign and trade?
You got to think. You're giving away one of the, you know, say what you want about his recent performance. You're giving away one of the best young bigs in the game, a former number one pick. Who, you know what I'm saying? I believe if they trade him, they give away his bird rights, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, you're giving him an opportunity to go make the money he was going to make there somewhere else. So I think you got to get, I think, at least two draft picks. You need, because he hasn't made an all-star team yet, but you need at least one, like, fringe all-star type of player. I feel like if you could do it with two firsts and a player, or, like, it would have to be multiple role players, because, for example, the Suns were trash at three-point shooting, but the Bulls were trash at three-point shooting. So it's really, you can't send them Kobe White, nigga. Like, that ain't gonna work. So, I mean, if you're Phoenix, you need shooting back, because, you know what I'm saying? We talked about
I don't think Vooch would be bad in Phoenix, though.
Yeah, I think he could work, especially in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
With Chris Paul.
Yeah, it could work. But let's talk about Mr. Devin Booker, man. So yeah, this nigga here, making us look bad. By the way, I'm with the LLS, man. We can't be having performances like this, bro. We just can't be having it on our record, man. And so I'm gonna give y'all a stat from this nigga last night. 3 for 14, over 4 from 4 from three. And by the way, 0 for 11 from the 3-point line in the last two and the only two elimination games.
That's crazy
that he's been in his career, with a grand whopping 11 points. And let's delve a little deeper here. These motherfuckers didn't score a field goal in the first half. They didn't have a in the first half. So a lot of all this stuff is really garbage time. And we have a tweet here from Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Just retweeted Mr. Weezy F Baby. So Wayne, of course, the Luka is a whole tweet. He put, "It's a shit show. Put you front row." with a picture of Wayne at the game. Chef's kiss. Mark Cuban.
Shout out to Mark Cuban, man. One of the best owners in sports. I fucking love Mark Cuban.
I would love Mark Cuban to own any of the teams that I root for. So, amazing
didn't,
response.
Didn't he try to buy the White Sox and they wouldn't let him?
He tried to buy the Cubs and MLB told him, fuck out of here. Like, we're not letting you have this.
Right. I'm out here making shit up. Please, somebody buy the White Sox.
Please, nigga, anybody. Anybody, bro.
Bezos, please, nigga.
You know what I'm saying? But and by the way, one other thing. Like, I understand everybody wants a great basketball conversation, and I do 98% of the time. But that other 2% is reserved for Chris Paul. Let it happen. For all you niggas out here like, well, he still this, that, that. Just let it happen, bro. Just let it happen. We know he's a great. We understand that. But the nigga ain't won nothing. And in the day, the NBA is results-based business. Sports is result-based business. Yeah, you can't slander Giannis. You know why? He won a championship last year. And if anybody watched that series, wasn't his fault. I don't like doing ifs, but we all know that series was different. I'm not saying that they would have won still if they had Chris Middleton. Right. I'm not going to disrespect the Celtics like that. But Chris Middleton, they could have used Chris Middleton them last three games.
Yeah,
but with this guy, Chris Paul, we didn't let this nigga off the hook every year. If y'all heard the stuff I done heard the last couple years, every time I try to slander him, you got to put nuance into him. Nuance this, nigga. This is an undefendable performance.
Nigga's a loser, bro.
And Devin Booker is right there with him. And for all you niggas, man, like, honestly, what is that? What's that big of a difference between Devin Booker and Zach LaVine?
I mean, honestly, it's media coverage. That's the
thank
difference.
You, thank you.
Like, it's media coverage, and I was one of the people saying, you know, let's back off on the whole Zach and Devin comparison. But you know, it really just shows you can't get too caught up in emotions. And you know, we get hyped when somebody going good, and it's like, see, I told you he elite. But then when he fuck up, it's like, nah. But the reality is, you know, they are, you know, extremely similar players. Devin has been better on defense recently, but overall, you're right. It's like when it comes down to it, what is the difference, like? He looked like he didn't want to be out there,
bruh.
Like that picture of Luka looking up at him is gonna live on for a very
long
time.
It's going to live on forever about this. And
big Luka in the building,
yeah. And before, because we're gonna give Luka a lot of love on this show, a lot of love. We gotta give Luka some love. But Devin Booker, this nigga, he hit a shot at the game five and gonna look at the camera and say, that's the Luka special. And Luka was like, I bet. He was a no show in game six. And he was a no-show tonight. What are you doing? Like, and my brother said something that made a lot. We got to stop crowning these young niggas so early.
Yeah,
like, we got to stop crowning. And I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Now, there's some outliers like Luka.
Yeah.
Like a Taylor. You know what I'm saying? Those guys are him. But this nigga here, and this is a guy like, you know, he oh, like, and I think Pat Bev said that he's only been to the playoffs 1 year before this. Like, why are we acting like he's perennial fucking playoff? And that comes to coverage, because remember 2 years ago, all he put are empty numbers.
Yeah,
y'all niggas had him in MVP conversations.
That's everybody's number one, you know, argument when somebody does something on a bad team, or it's just empty numbers, empty stats. But you ever notice they never say shit like that with like AI, you know what I'm saying? When he was the only scorer on his team and he put up a lot of shots, you know what I'm saying? Situations do matter. But you know what I'm saying, with that being said, I'm with you, bro. With Book, you know, it seems like it started last year during their playoff run where everybody was, you know, saying like, okay, Book is next up. Book is one of those next guys. And I still think he is. But that term superstar, like we always say, it's only about a handful of those. So we really got to let these guys be stars and let them develop. But that, you know, that's just a product of our generation. We want to give people their flowers while they're here. So the second somebody do something great, we comparing it to the all-time greats, not realizing that one thing that, you know, at least in my opinion, one of the aspects of greatness is longevity. Like,
yeah,
doing some shit for 3-4 years, that's cool. Like, Gilbert Arenas was cool, but is he an all-time great? Hell no. Like, it's years worth of work you got to put in. So I'm with Flores on that 100%. Like, and Book is another example of that. So it's Donovan Mitchell, all these guys. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Just let it play out. The league is in good hands, but at the same time, it ain't in their hands yet.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think that would be hella, that would be super true if the Warriors end up raising the Larry O.B. this year. We're going to be like, same shit. By the way, what do you feel about the new trophies?
I like them. I like them a lot. And I like the conference finals awards.
I think, do too.
You know, It's a completely different series, not because I like when baseball does it.
Baseball does it, hockey does it. And the thing, the funny thing to me, because you know NBA players love complaining, and I'm not an Adam Silver guy at all. Y'all know my nigga is Big Raj. Raj Goodell's my nigga. But I'm not a big Adam Silver guy, but he's 2 for 2 for me right now. I love to play in, and I like this. I like this award. I like that, you know, and for fans, it's like, well, MVP awards should be counted with the playoffs. Well, here's your 2 playoff awards. You know what I'm saying? If you make it to the conference finals, you're the MVP of that. And I like how they named it after Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. I think the only, like, complaint I have is I don't understand why the West Conference trophy is named after Oscar Robertson when he didn't play in the fucking West Conference.
Yeah.
So that's only issue I had. Like, they could have named the Eastern Conference trophy after him and maybe named the West after, I don't know, that fraud Wilt Chamberlain or something like that. Like,
I do think at some point you got to name something after David Stern. Like,
yes, I agree.
You have to name something after him. I don't give a
fuck. They might eventually change the NBA trophy name.
The Larry O'B to the David Stern?
Yeah, I mean, Larry O'Brien was a long-ass time ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might change it, you know. And I like how they had the different – and I love how they kind of add, like, the Stanley Cup thing to the NBA Finals trophy where all the former champions and the current champion gets put on the front. So, I like it. Only complaint I had was I know they did it for 75th anniversary, but giving everybody the little silver ball – for the individual awards was trash. But that's how I feel about that. But let's talk about Mr. Luka. Mr. Luka Doncic. And I just want to say, I told y'all so. I came on this podcast when we did our first round preview. You said it was going to be a cute 5-game series. I told y'all.
Players fucked up.
I didn't pick the Mavs to win. I said it was going to be 7 games, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavericks win. But I have been preaching the gospel of Luka Doncic. And I just want to say, you know how this bad luck the Bulls have had? If it wasn't for remember that little streak that Nico Miritich went on in 2017-2018 that fucked the Bulls out of a top pick?
Yeah.
We could have had Luka, but I'm not going to go through that again. But anyway, Luka had an incredible series. I've got his stats for the series lined out here in 6 games, even the games he lost. Game 1, 45 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Game 2, 35 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Game 3, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. Game 4, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals. Game 5, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. Game 6, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. And last night, game 7, 35, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He bodied, bro.
He went fucking crazy, bro. And like we said, I know a couple back when I was, you know, slandering Giannis before he got a ring, I was like, I'd take, you know, Luka over Giannis. But Luka is in that category with Giannis. Like, he ain't got the ring yet. You know,
Giannis is a better player, but I think Luka is the most untradeable asset in the NBA.
Yeah, he's
4 years younger than Giannis.
Because of what he gives you on the defensive end. That's what puts him above him. But Luka is definitely in that conversation. And we always talk about pillars of franchises and who you would start with. Luka's showing you time and time again. It's like, I forgot who said it, but it's like, I think it was CJ McCollum. He's like, bro played in the EuroLeague where they pop flares indoors. Like,
right,
so
exactly.
There is no such thing as a hostile environment for Luka. So,
and like, Luka said on JJ Reddy Pod, the NBA is easier.
Yeah, he said it. He says easier. He's like, I get buckets. And you seen him. He was cooked. Who did he make fall? Was that Cam Johnson?
That was Cam Johnson.
Like, put him in the blender, G. Like, bro. And it was funny. And like he said that Mike quote. He said, you know, everybody talk tough when they up.
Yep.
Everybody talk tough when they up. And then he cooked their ass. Like,
and this wasn't like, you know, in the press conference. He said this, they was leaving the court after getting dragged after game 5. Game 5 was not close. They got their ass whooping game 5. He said, all right, everybody talk tough when they up. Everybody talk tough.
And like you said, G, when it was 2-0, Chris Paul and Devin Booker looking at each other, doing all that goofy shit.
Yeah.
You know, in the press conference, and I look at you. Chris Paul, man, that man was up there in tears.
Right. Crying, you know, and you laughed at this nigga the other day. Now you up here crying. And it's like,
it's crazy. And ain't nothing wrong with crying because I get it. You don't stay passion, right, but you were just laughing and giggling at this man. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't gonna get no sympathy from me for that.
You're not getting no sympathy from this. This is Chris Paul will never get sympathy from me, like ever, ever, nigga. In the words of Stu Guy, Stu Guy said, even married people have rings. And then Dan was like, but Chris is married. Well, she needs to divorce him. So. Shout out to the Stu guys, and it's like
Stu guys an idiot.
Stu guys is the guy, but it's like with Luka, and this is why I said it was gonna be a seven-game series. Because what are you going to do with this man? And I've been saying this since the Dinwiddie trade. They've got the perfect complement of others. Like, they complement Luka so well. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as the Finney Smiths and the Dinwiddie, and Dinwiddie went fucking crazy in game seven.
Shout out to Spencer, man. He went nuts.
Jalen Brunson had a good game, but I have eyes. And me and my homie Mike was watching this. He was getting his LeBron on in that second half. A lot of stat padding by Mr. Brunson.
Yeah, I need a check, bro.
I'm not mad at him. Add some more zeros to your check. I get him. But I saw, like, this nigga stat pad. It was like five possessions when he just went to the hole on Devin Booker ass. Like, five straight. You like, nigga, another zero. But they complement each other so well. You know, Reggie Bullock. Like I said, Finney Smith, they got the whole team. What's my white, the white dude? I can't, Kleber, he's cold. He got a banger from three. And the question was, and my biggest fear coming into game seven was, were they going to play well on the road? They haven't played well on the road. They've only played well at home. Can they play well on the road? And they came out, they smacked these niggas in the mouth. And I got to give some love to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, he beat the bad coach allegations.
You know, Giannis said he gives him the most props for unlocking him as a player. But fuck the offense. That defensive strategy they had last night was incredible. The defense was switching. And even in the second half, they didn't let up.
Yeah. Did you see the clip where he on the sidelines, they got him mic'd up? And it's crazy. He like, stay home. Trap.
Awesome. Like, I love shit like that.
He's sitting there yelling, screaming, pointing. Like you said, he really, like, you know, he beat the bad coach allegations, G. And like you said, and I think it's mainly because he's an old school coach. And when you look at a lot of the complaints people had about him, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we joked about the Cynthia Cooper shit, but like, shorty, if she was coaching men, it wouldn't have been an issue. They would have just been she old school.
Thank you for reminding me to put Cynthia Cooper on the Summer Sessions rundown for this weekend.
Yeah, you got to. That shit was insane. but no, Jay Kidd, he was really out there doing his thing, bro, coaching his team. And that's what it's going to take when you know, on paper, have less talent. I think they probably had the most talented player in the series in Luka. But on paper, the Suns should have smacked them. And they didn't. And it was because of coaching in part and Luka being a fucking dog.
And I said this, like, a smart man said, I don't know exactly who the man is, but a smart man said, you never want a game seven when the best player is on the other team. Now, it may work out for you like it worked out with Boston, but you never want a situation where the best players on the other team, and that's what happened with this one, man. And so the question is now, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm not only is Luka, you know, best player in that series, I think he's the best player remaining in the playoffs right now. I'm going to take it there. And y'all know Steph, my man.
I don't know if he's better than Wardell yet.
I'm not saying he's better than Wardell.
But just left right now in the playoffs?
I give you that,
definitely. I think it's between him and Tatum right now.
Yes, I love Tatum too. Tatum, I love Tatum. Like, I love the whole Celtic team. It's just they play for the fucking Celtics. I don't know any black people, not from Boston, who like the Boston Celtics. Outside of the black women Celtic revival we had in the mid-2000s when KG and Ray joined and every black woman was a Celtic fan for like 4 years.
Yeah.
But since then, it's just like, when I look at Boston, I just think of racism. You know what I'm saying? It's just something about that damn leprechaun that I can't get out my fucking head. But yeah, I have to go with that. But let's talk about this conference final, man. I've been going back and forth all day. Like, I'm picking the Warriors, by the way. I've been going back and forth all day about how many games. Because to me, this all comes down to, are the Warriors going to play with their food or not? Which is what they've done, not just this year. That's a theme with the Warriors since they've been together. They play with their food too much because they know how damn good they are. They know they can turn it on and off, and it makes series longer than it needs. That series against Memphis should not have been that damn long. When Ja went out, they should have put the plug in them. You know, game four, they're playing around with their food. They barely won. And I love Draymond, but Draymond going on his pod to him. That's Golden State World, but like, nigga, y'all won by like a point, bro. Like, you shouldn't have won that game. And in game five, they just got destroyed. You know, Draymond doing a whoop that trick, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, that's crazy.
And game six was way closer than it needed to be. Way closer than it needed to be. So my question here is, they can't do that with this Dallas team. They can't do this with this Dallas team. Dallas is coming off a high now. Now they know they can beat high caliber teams like this. They just did it to the number one team in basketball on the road. They're not going to be, yeah, I think they're going to respect the Warriors. You know, remember Pat Bev was like, nigga, ain't nobody scared of the fucking Suns. You know, so they'll definitely be a more respect factor here. But my question is, I'll say, if the Warriors don't play with their food, like, let's just, I do think the Warriors will take them way seriously than they've taken their first two opponents in this series. I will say if they don't play with their food, I'll say Warriors in six. Mm-hmm. But if they fuck around, Warriors in seven, and then seven, they playing with fire. You playing with fire, then like a light, Luka like, I do it again. You know what I'm saying? And when Luka smells pussy, you see some of them shots he hit last night. It was like from step range, honestly. It was some step shit.
Yeah, the step backs, you know, just
I don't know who's gonna guard this man. I don't know who's gonna, it's gonna be a long night for that Warriors backcourt. And I'm afraid if they put Draymond on him, then he's gonna get in the foul trouble. This might have to be a Wiggins series.
Yeah, because I'm gonna say you're gonna get a dose of Wiggins and Draymond. And so I think, you know, for me, it's all gonna depend on what Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie can give you. You know, as well as the rest of those role players. So I'm going to go Warriors in six, but I honestly think it can go Warriors in five. Like, I think Luka's going to do his thing, but I don't think the Warriors, enough. They don't have enough to stop the Warriors if they come in clicking. Because, you know, we saw Klay, game six, Klay is back. Like,
Klay is back.
That was beautiful to see, bro. He was out there doing his thing. So when you got Klay doing that, you got Dre, and Steph is still, you know, slowly but surely ramping up. And then you got a Jordan Poole, you know what I'm saying? So, Kamunga. That's a good squad, bro.
I love how you fucked his name up like Pat Bev early. Pat Bev called that nigga Kumbaya.
It's Kamunga, right?
It's Kamunga. You said Kamunga.
Oh, my bad, though. My bad.
No, he said Kumbaya, and that nigga Steve Nair's like, it's Kamunga. He saw he a rookie. He don't get deserved to get his name changed. I was like, all right. By the way, Pat Bev today was excellent television. Like,
oh, that was must-see TV.
Like, even take away the troll aspect, you could tell he knows basketball, bro. Like, yeah. And like the combo that they had of him, Stephen A, and JJ is perfect. Like, JJ's gotta be my new favorite. Like, this nigga's basketball mind is brilliant.
Yeah,
you know what you need to watch? Anybody who loves great basketball conversation, watch the 2-part pod with Legler and Red Reddick. That shit is basketball conversation heaven.
Yeah, like, legs is dope.
He's the best guy on ESPN.
I forgot what he did. He said some wild shit or tweeted a DM some wild shit so they don't be putting him on TV.
No, that's not what it is. No, he asked to get the nice shit because he with his kids.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, they doing this shit to him on purpose. No, they said, I forgot what interview I read. And he was like, he asked for that because he wants to like take his kids to school and shit like that. So, I'm with you. I can see it going five, but I know the Warriors.
Yeah, they're gonna fuck up.
They know that's just what they do. And sometimes some of them shots, like, I'd be like, nigga. And Steph's, the Warriors have so many bad shots because they make them. But it's just like, what? And so it's like, I do feel like the Warriors will, and it's all about respect level with the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? If the Warriors don't respect you, they're going to play with their food more.
Yeah.
If they respect you, they're going to come with it. And that's what you saw in the Cavs series. They respected LeBron. You know, they respected Kyrie. So it was a different level. So I do think they're going to respect Luka. Because even when I was watching Draymond's podcast today, when he was talking about Luka, there wasn't that much bass in his voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas know.
Yeah.
Niggas know what hoopers to mess with, who not to mess with. And as a fan, this is going to be enjoyable for me because it's got my current favorite player in Steph and my new favorite player in Luka. I'm good either way. I win regardless.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a hell of a fucking series, bro. Yeah. But I think like I said it's gonna come down to really how the Warriors try to slow either you're gonna let Luka go crazy and you stop everybody else.
That should be the game plan. Yeah,
that should be the game plan, but it always sounds good. But at some point, you're gonna have to slow down Luka, like especially like in the fourth quarter if he's going berserk. And I don't know if that means, you know, blitzing them with Wiggins and Dre and shit like that. And so, you know, not dropping back and letting them get those threes and trying to run them off the three because, you know, he will. Even though he doesn't really shoot a high percentage from three, he will shoot those. Yeah. And when he's a streaky shooter. He's a very streaky shooter.
Yeah.
And so I think with him being, you know, in his bag right now and really just on a roll, you got to be careful with that. So I think that's really what's going to come down to. Like, can you get those timely stops on Luka? Because you're not going to stop him. But can you get those timely stops?
That's a good word, timely stops.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, like I said, Warriors in six, but I can see it going five. If they come out like on business, it could be Warriors in five.
I'm gonna say Warriors in six, but I could see it going seven. The thing here to me is, well, even when we talk about defensively, because you know they're gonna rotate with Kuminga, with Draymond, with Wiggins. But this is a guy, and Pat Bear brought this up too. This nigga was bringing the drama to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And these are elite defenders, bro.
Yeah.
There's nobody outside of Draymond, obviously. But Draymond, my fear for Draymond, not that he can't guard Luka. My fear is that you're going to get Draymond in foul trouble. That's what my fear is. Because Luka hooped like a fat nigga. Like, he kind of remind me of Paul Pierce a little bit.
Yeah, like, hell yeah. I said that yesterday.
Yeah, he remind me of P a little bit, like, to the fact where, like, he killing you, but you like, how is this nigga doing this?
Slow like, motion, getting slow to his spots. Slow motion game. Just getting to his spots, getting buckets, and it's consistent.
That's exactly what it reminds me of. So it's going to be a fun series. Man, I honestly can't wait. I think both of these series are going to be fine. So let's get to the East. Both game sevens were blowouts, which I had like a feeling in the morning that it was kind of be like that, even though I thought it was going to be Phoenix blowing out Dallas. I didn't expect what Dallas did whatsoever. But Celtics-Bucks game seven, an epic series came to an end, man. Grant Williams, nobody saw the Grant Williams game coming.
Yeah. I mean, he was 7 for 18, so let's
7 for 8. He attempted the most threes in game seven history. He passed Steph by three threes, 27 points. Tatum was in foul trouble, but Jaylen Brown, there was like a point in that game, like in the second quarter, third quarter, where they had no answer for this nigga going to the point paint, like none whatsoever. And I think the issue here really was Giannis ain't had no help. Like, they sorely missed Chris Middleton these last three games. And I know they won game five, but they sorely missed him these last three games. And it's just kind of like they just ran out of steam. You know what I'm saying? And I think the biggest thing for the Celtics, and I said on my show after the Celtics lost game five, I thought it was over. I didn't think they'll come back from Milwaukee alive. But that showed me what kind of heart them niggas had to go on the road in Milwaukee to win. And by that, I was one of the best duels I've ever seen. You know, was 42.41 points from Tatum, 44 and 22 from Giannis. And by the way, Giannis had first play in NBA history, 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in a series. Like, I don't think y'all, this is seven games we're talking about. That's asinine.
That's insane. He's
like laughable good.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where it's like, God damn. And I know everybody said, oh, he gets away with fouling and traveling and blah, blah, blah.
And but look, he got called for 20 offensive fouls these playoffs. So I feel like the refs are being fair on that point.
Yeah, because I mean, he's a big dude, so you can't call everything on him. He's like probably one of the most difficult guys to referee since Shaq.
Yep.
Because of his size and the way he throws himself around. But, you know, he embraces that and he enjoys it. And so I think another thing, this is just another example of, you know, this whole ring culture we got now. And so everybody's sitting here trying to – I saw that one weirdo pod where they were listing, like, oh, he's lost in the second round a couple times, X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah, that's going to happen. Like, like these runs we've been seeing from other teams recently have been, you know, that's unheard of.
Said the best. LeBron and stuff make it look like it's easy.
Exactly. And it's not. Like, whether it be LeBron and his teams or the Warriors and the run they went on, that don't happen, you know, often. Like, it doesn't. Like, I mean, maybe once a decade, which for some people that's a lot, but in terms of just that type of dominance and continuously going to the finals, no. So I think with Giannis, you know, like you said, he lost his second best player, like just flat out. Like shit like that matters as much as we like to, you know, say, well, if you're a superstar, you get it done. And, you know, for a series, he did. But when it came down to it here, he needed more help. You know, and it wasn't nothing that he could have done about that.
Yeah, Chris Middleton was a guy who I wasn't giving his love until last year when he had such a great NBA final. We see what kind of guy, and I think I don't know if it was Jalen Rose or was it Greeny? It was one of the two. It might have been Greeny, but Greeny said it best. Like, of course, Giannis is the best player on the Bucks, but Middleton's their go-to scorer. Like, when you need a bucket, you go to Middleton. You know what I'm saying? And they missed that badly, and that was something that I was hoping the Bulls would take advantage of, which, of course, we know they didn't. But that was something that Boston – one thing I love about Boston is – and it's actually kind of laugh. I remember when I said on the Bulls playoff preview, I said, oh, I would rather see Boston. Silly Negro I am. They are mopped the fucking floor.
We would have got cooked.
And nigga, it'd have been a nasty sweep. Like a nasty sweep. And it's like they just, I always love when you see adversity hits teams. When you got that on the road game, them the toughest game. You face elimination on the road, then you come home, and that's when the role players play well. Yeah, Grant Williams
exactly.
Playing well. And Rich Pritchard was out there hitting some threes on these niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? And they had no answer for him. And so leading into this Eastern Conference Final, or before we get to actually, with the Bucks season, before I actually get into the Conference Finals, but with the Bucks season, how do you view it? You know, a lot of people say they kind of coast through regular season. Of course, they only beat the Bulls in the playoffs, and now they home.
I mean, you got to take it, like I said, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You had that injury. That injury changes everything, you know, as much as we don't want to acknowledge it. You know, having your second best guy go down, you know, during the most important time of the year, there are a few teams that recover from that. So I think as far as this season, you can't really label it a failure. But, you know, you didn't win a championship. So I think if they had, you know, a lot of teams, especially champions, have that championship or bust mentality. So for right now, they may be holding on to that. But I think at the end of the day, the reality is, you know, they got to come back next year. So this season was still a success. It was another playoff trip. You know, a lot of teams, you got, you know, teams like Sacramento who ain't made the playoffs in forever. You know, here you are a high seed. You know what I'm saying? You got through one round without one of your best guys. And then, you know, everything just finally caught up with you. So if not a success, you got to give it an incomplete because of the injuries. You can't really sit here and say, oh, it was a failure. We didn't win a ring, because there were a lot of factors in you not winning that ring.
And speaking of the Sacramento Kings, that's another team that made the conference finals before, you know, more recently than the Philadelphia 76ers, which yep. I gave them proper smoke on my show. Is there anything you want to say about the Sixers before we get into the conference finals? I've said all I've had to say about them niggas, but.
Fire Doc, James Harden is a fraud. Joel Embiid needs to stop crying. Like, I understand you play hurt. I get it. You know what I'm saying? You know, tip my cap to you, but at the end of the day, you lost, bro. So I think, you know, once again, you heard him. He said he's not the Harden in Houston anymore. Like, he said that shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just so much other shit going on. They kind of just swept it to the side.
And while I do agree,
it's like, come on, nigga.
Joel throwing his teammates on the bus for like 3 years in a row is getting kind of old.
Yeah, it's like, stop, nigga. Like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
And so I think with Philly, everybody from the process is gone, correct? Except for Joel.
Yeah.
For the most part.
He's the only process player left.
So, I mean, at this point, I guess the whole point of the process is to get a superstar to build around, but shit was a joke. Like,
there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell I pay James Harden a max contract.
Oh, fuck no.
There's no way God's green earth.
If they pay him Daryl Morey, somebody gotta go.
He should be fired on spot. Like, you can't do that. He gonna opt in next year. Cool. Let him opt in, pay a little $38 million, whatever. Maybe even a 1+1 type deal.
Yeah.
Long term, kiss my ass. There's just no way that's gonna happen. But let's get to the actual Eastern Conference Finals, which when you'll be listening to this, we'll be kicking off tonight in South Beach in MIAO, which I just found out that they have a club inside of the arena. Shout out to our guy, our He Gone podcast partner, Mikey, who will be at game one. If you see him with white on his nose, ignore and just keep walking.
Ignore, just pass him a nap. Pass him a napkin and keep it moving.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So, Miami, man, they've been a team that has been fun to watch. I'm a big Jimmy Butler guy. Y'all know that's my firstborn son. I love Jimmy Butler. Another conference final. Well, actually, the first one in my head, because I tell you, I don't count nothing from that government experiment 2 years ago. So the first conference final for them. And here they go up against the Boston Celtics, which I have picked against the Celtics every round this series. And I'm here to tell y'all, I'm done doing it. I'm not picking against them. I got them in the finals, obviously, because they'll win this. I got them in six. My issue, I think it's going to be a dog fight. It's going to be, for all you niggas who want 90s type basketball,
you're going to get this. 86-82.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. A lot of 93-90 scores in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? A lot of 50-48 halftime scores.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see it. We might even get an 87-84 score sometime in this series. It's going to be real physical basketball. A lot of niggas getting thrown out the club. But my issue, the only reason I'm taking Boston is I think Boston is a slightly better defensive team, and they have better offense. All you got, honestly, is Jimmy Butler. And it don't look like Kyle Lowry is going to play in this series. And you really, to me, for them to beat me, to pick Miami, I got to have Kyle Lowry at full strength. And if he does play, he's not going to be his full strength. As of right now, he's not going to play game one. So you're missing that. I'm not trusting Tyler Hero. Duncan Robinson played like 5 minutes total in that Philly series. And if you can't play him against the Sixers, you damn sure can't play him against the Celtics. Oh, so yeah. They're gonna need a massive Bam series.
Yeah, you're gonna need Bam to, you know, borderline one of
we
those.
We need to be bubble Bam.
Take a step. Yeah, but we need they bubble need Bam. Bubble back. Bam.
They, when he,
point
when,
forward. All that
which
shit.
Might be the big of a big myth as bubble AD is. It might they need that for me to believe they can beat them because it's gonna be too much Tatum, too much Brown, and honestly, too much Al Horford. I never thought I'd say that on a podcast. But Al Horford had a tremendous series. He brought them niggas from out the grave in game six and in game four. And that's going to be somebody to reckon with, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great series. I think if you like big on X's and O's and, you know, just defensive schemes and different, you know, just different little chess moves, you're going to see a lot of that from Spo and Udoka. And we got to really just give a tip our cap to bro because they've been playing defense since the All-Star break. They've been the number one defensive team in the league. They play team defense. They got the defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart, who's locked down out there terrorizing shit. And so I think, you know, with Jimmy, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to really be one of those, you know, as they say, war of attrition. Like, who going to outlast the other person? Because the nigga's going to be banged up, bruised up. You know, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be, I think this is going to be entertaining. It's going to be entertaining for me because I'm not, like, I don't have a problem with games that's like 92-89. If it's a good ass game, I like, I'm cool defense. With that. It looks a lot better than these AAU runs where they just jacking threes up. Like, that shit is trash. So, you know, I think that's the series. Like, this series is gonna be highly entertaining. And I got shit. Who do I got? I mean, I got the Celtics. You know, it's kind of like every year we talk about teams, you know, running.
Sound like you're conflicted about this.
Running into people at the right time. Yeah, because I go against Jimmy Butler a lot, and I'm kind of
yeah,
like,
I know. I've been getting burned by that. It's like five of us in the Jimmy Butler fan club.
Yeah, you know, but like, so I want to give him his, you know, his credit. I know he's going to get them at least two games. So I'm going to go Boston in six.
I'm going to go Boston in six, too. I think that Boston has a legit shot to win it all. Bro, like, they have a legit shot to win it all now. Of course, the Vegas favorite is the Warriors, and it should be. They're the most, and they have home court throughout now. They have a better record than Miami and Boston. So, well, actually, Miami has the same record. So, I really think that comes down to tiebreakers. I don't know who has a tiebreaker then, but they finished with the same record as Miami. But if Boston wins the series like we expect them to, Game 7 in the NBA Finals will be at the Chase Center. So, the Warriors will have the home court advantage. But just the way that Boston guards. And Jason Tatum is he's him, bro. There's nothing else you can say about Tatum. He's that guy. And like, if you're all those teams, like, who, what do you think Philly is feeling right now? Like, Philly, they fucked up so much shit by, you know, and shot to Jimmy Butler. He took Tobias Harris over me. Yeah. I love that.
If you Philly or the Lakers, bro, you took Tatum and you took Fultz and Zoe over Tatum.
Or Laker fan. We got a ring, allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly. And Bob, I love how JJ Redick said, yeah, because the bubble doesn't count. That was hilarious there on First Take. But that to me is that's going to be the deciding factor is they can score more because it's going to be close games.
Oh, yeah.
And if Bam can be Bam, then that levels the playing field tremendously. If Bam can give Horford hell and take Horford out, that changes the series. But but as we see, Boston's not afraid to play on the road. They're not afraid to play in the road. They exactly. Won both games in Brooklyn. Three out of their two out of their four wins was on the road.
It's not an issue for them. It's not an issue for them, G.
Yeah, in Milwaukee, which we can argue probably a better home court because niggas Miami don't get to the games like the fourth quarter. So it's like it's a different situation. But I do feel like Spo is one of the kings of adjustments, and that to me. It's going to be – we're really going to see what Udoka's coaching chops is at. Because for the first time ever, he's going up against a legendary head coach. Yes, I'm not counting Doc Rivers. So he's going up against a legendary coach for the first time in this playoffs. And how's he going to, you know, how's he going to combine it? You know who's the X factor for me for Miami to win this series outside of him? PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker's defense on Jason Tatum is going to tell me a lot in this.
I'm going to say, yeah, the Bucks clearly missed PJ. So, yes. No, you're absolutely right.
So, overall, I think these are going to be two fun conference finals. I'm looking forward to seeing them. All really, you know, it's really funny. We look at Steph and the Warriors, that like they're still here. they're still here. You know, another conference final for them. And speaking of agenda, because that's what we are here on Baldwin Live, we talk about agenda. I'm gonna say this ahead of time. When the NBA's finals start, NBA finals start in about 2 weeks. So about a month from now, we should be getting ready for the season. I'm gonna say this now, and I don't care about logic when it comes to the statement, by the way. So for all y'all who tweet me about this. Don't let Steph Curry tie LeBron in rings. Okay. Do not let that happen. I'm giving y'all a warning. And if he finally gets the little finals MVP that y'all care so much about, don't let it happen. Okay. If y'all thought what I said about Chris Paul, nigga, I'm going to say some wild shit. So don't let that happen. And that's all I got to say about that.
We're going to see, G. I think he got a great shot, though. He really
do. They have an amazing shot. I don't think it's going to be easy because I really feel like if they go to the final, I really feel like the Celtics could beat them. I really do feel like that. Just from I really think they could. I don't think – I wouldn't pick them, but I think they could. So, it's going to be interesting to see, man. We're in the NBA's version of the Final Four. So, we're almost there. For all you niggas who don't watch baseball, that means no sports for you until September after this next month. So,
Sucks to suck, nigga.
Hopefully, the White Sox start being consistent so I don't have to get angry every day when the only thing I have to watch is baseball. And by the way, if you want to hear our thoughts on that, there's a new episode of He Going Out right now. Me, Dante, the homie Mikey. We talk about this first month of inconsistency from the Chicago White Sox. So, check that out. We'll be back next week to break down these first couple games of the conference finals. When the NBA finals starts, we will be doing a live stream after each game. Me and Dante, and we'll have some guests. We're going to make some fun shit. We'll be breaking down each game after that. You know how to follow us on Twitter at BarberChairScott, at OctoberZoneTay. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarberChairNet. Subscribe to the Patreon so you can not only listen to this podcast, but watch it. Also, we got a lot of cool stuff coming to the summer. Check that out. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. Pick any type of package you want, man. We appreciate everybody who's been, you know, subscribing. And, of course, I'm not going to hold you. This week, gonna break down more of the conference finals. So we out, y'all.